Guys, have a good week.
Everybody must still be sleeping today, huh? Must be one of them Sundays, huh? Praise the Lord. Well, it's interesting. You guys notice this tomb over here? It's empty, isn't it? Huh? That tomb is empty. There's nobody in there. It's empty. Can you get a little excited about that? Huh? Praise the Lord. That tomb is empty. Our Lord and Savior has risen, and He is risen indeed. Huh? Praise the Lord. Get a little excited? Maybe? Little? Praise the Lord. All right. That's interesting. Less devotion. Hit it right on the head. God loves you exactly where you are. And we're going to be looking at some stuff today. So get out of the way and let the Lord do His thing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. You are risen, Father. You are our Savior. You have came out of that grave with power and with might. And Father, You showed Yourself to be God. Nothing can hold You down. And I praise You for that, Father. I thank You. Father, we just want Your presence this morning. Your Holy Spirit, just be with us this morning. Get me out of the way. You say what You want to be said this morning. We can apply it to our lives. It will go into our hearts and our minds. And we can just love You. Father, we praise You. We love You. Father, just be with us presence this morning, Father. Praise You. We love You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. You guys see the title of the sermon today? In the bulletin? God meets you where you are. Cool. God meets you where you are. And I actually got to mean right where you are. Huh? God meets you exactly where you are. We're going to be in John chapter 21 this morning. I don't know. We'll see how this goes here. You know, I've preached on this same passage of Scripture at least twice, maybe three times before that I can remember. But I saw something this year, totally something different that I never saw before. And I thought, you know, that's pretty cool. That's the neat thing about the Bible. It never gets old. You look at a verse of Scripture this year, next year it's the same, different. It's like, wow, that's just really different. You know what I'm saying? So, John chapter 21, we're going to be looking at this guy. Jesus is going to show Himself to His disciples, but I wanted to pick Peter out. I mean, John MacArthur wrote a book. It says 12 Ordinary Men. And he goes through each one of the disciples by name. And Peter, he has the disciple with the foot-shaped mouth. Because he always puts his foot in his mouth, you know? It's like, but it's kind of interesting. But anyway, we're going to look at some stuff here. I'm just going to read this. There's a lot here, but I think there's a lot to look at. So we're going to start. John chapter 21 says, after this, Jesus let Himself be seen and revealed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and He did it in this way. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas, called the twin, Didymus, and Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, also the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples. In verse 3 it says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Huh? So, Jesus has showed Himself to the disciples. He was crucified, rose from the dead, showed Himself, and here the disciples are, and what's Peter going to do? I'm going back fishing. It's like, what's the deal here, Peter? What? Yeah, that'd probably be the same way, I suppose. So, he goes back to doing what he was used to doing. He said, I'm going to go fishing. The others said, we're going to. So, they all just take off. Okay. So, they went out and got into a boat, and throughout that night, they caught nothing. Now, that's just really quick, short, simple statement, okay? But think about this. We all have jobs. We all do something, right? If you went to work and absolutely got nothing accomplished, nothing, give you a lot of time to think, wouldn't it? Can you imagine guys sitting out in a boat, throw their nets out, it's like, nothing. Nothing's happening. They're out there all night. Nothing. Give you some time to think. Verse 4. Morning was already breaking when Jesus came to the beach and stood there. However, the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Verse 5. So Jesus said to them, boys, Hey, fellas, did you catch anything? Don't you just love it when somebody says, are you getting anything done? No, it's not working. You ever have that? You ever have somebody come up and do that to you? Huh? It's not working, all right? Don't ask, all right? And I just picture this. He's like, hey, fellas, you catching anything? And they're like, well, I just said. So you got anything to eat? And they answered him, the Amplified says, no, exclamation point. And I think that's kind of funny, because that's probably what I do. No, I ain't got nothing. Huh? Verse 6, and he says to them, Jesus says, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. Okay. So they cast the net, and now they were not able to haul it in for such a big catch. They got a massive amount of fish in this net. Wow. Verse 7, disciples whom Jesus loved. John always never gives his own name. He just says the disciple that Jesus loved. That's way he. So if you see that in the scripture, it's just John saying, you know, that guy that Jesus loved, and that guy. Says to Peter, it's the Lord. Simon Peter, hearing him say that it was the Lord, put on his upper garment, his fisher's coat, for he was stripped for working, and sprang into the sea. Now, think about this. They're out there in the boat. They're not catching any fish whatsoever. Jesus says, just throw the net over there, you'll find something. And they're like, really? This guy's a professional fisherman, obviously, you know, whatever. So they throw their net over, they catch this big wad of fish, and John says, it's the Lord. That's the Lord. And Peter goes, yes! Jumps out of the boat, into the water. And look at the next verse. He says, and the other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore. They weren't very far away. Only some 100 yards away, dragging a net full of fish. It's almost like Peter's... Do you ever think about something for a long time? You ever have something on your mind that you just keep thinking about it? Can't quit thinking about it. You lose sleep because you're thinking about it. You ever had anything like that? These guys are up all night fishing, and Peter's out there. Could you imagine what's going through his mind? We know that Peter denied Christ, what, 3 times? Yeah. He denied Christ 3 times. He said, I don't even know the boy. I don't know him. Could you imagine that? I would hope I would never be that guy. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. Peter, that's Peter. He said, I don't know the guy. He denied Christ 3 times. He's like, he died on the cross. We seen him. He rose from the dead. I know he's alive. It's like, I'm going fishing. Maybe it's like, do you ever work and not think of anything? Your mind, you work, because you're not thinking. You're just working. You ever do that? It's just normal work, but your mind can think of stuff. And I wonder if that's what Peter's doing. He's sitting out in the boat all night, not catching any fish, thinking, man, did I screw up. It was terrible. Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? Oh, man. Huh? You ever do that to yourself? You ever beat yourself up? Am I the only guy that does that? Boy, it would have been great not to say that back then. Wouldn't it have been great just keep your mouth shut and not say a word? Huh? You ever have that problem? I'm just the only one? Okay, so I do that kind of stuff all the time. I'll say something like, why did you say that? Or the other flip, you should have said something. But I didn't. So here's Peter thinking all night long. And it's almost like he's thinking, you know what? I see the Lord on the shore. I'm tired of thinking. I'm just going to jump in the water and swim to shore. You know what I mean? Huh? He's going to see the Lord. Verse 9. When they got out on the land, they saw a fire of coals with the fish lying on it cooking and bread. Verse 9, charcoal fire is only used twice in the New Testament. Once, the charcoal fire was when Peter was warming himself when Jesus was in his trial. Remember, he's warming himself with the soldier. Remember that? You ever have a smell that just triggers a memory? You ever have that? You're like, my mom was a baker. She baked bread and stuff. And you're walking out of, you know what I mean? You ever have that fresh piece of bread right out of the oven, take a little butter, put on it, melt that hot? I mean, ooh, we're talking. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Huh? It's a smell that triggers a memory. And I wonder, here, this charcoal fire is the same type of fire. And I wonder, of Peter when he saw that, smelled that smoke. Yeah, I wonder. And Jesus says in verse 10, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net to land full of large fish, 153. And though there were so many of them, the net was not torn. Now, what's so significant about 153 fish? Huh? There's been people hundreds and hundreds of years trying to decipher what the 153 means. All kind of, you can spend hours, days looking. The interesting thing to me, it wasn't an average. There was 150 or 200 fish. 150, 200 fish. No, it was an exact number, 153. Who was John? He was writing this, right? Who was John? He was a fisherman. He was an experienced fisherman. You think he said, how many fish you catch last night, John? We caught 25 last night. No, we caught 30 that night. You know what I'm saying? He's an experienced fisherman. He said, there was 153. It almost like it's giving you backbone to say, you know what, John, he must have always been there. He counted the fish. There's 153. Isn't that cool? Huh? That's what I say about 153 fish. Okay, let's go on. Jesus says to them, come and have breakfast. But none of the disciples ventured to or dared to ask him, who are you? Because they well knew that it was the Lord. Verse 13, Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, so also with the fish. Now this is the third time that Jesus had revealed himself to the disciples after he had risen from the dead. This is the third time John documents that Jesus had shown himself to his disciples after he rose from the dead. Third time. And then we come to verse 15. You know, the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ ever met Peter, and I'll read it to you. You don't have to go there. John chapter 1, verse 42, maybe. The very first words that Jesus says to Peter are, Andrew then led Simon to Jesus. That's what's his name, Simon. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated Peter, a stone. The very first words that the Lord Jesus Christ tells Peter is, you know what? Your name's Simon. I'm going to call you Peter. Cephas, stone. You're going to be the rock. Nickname. Jesus gave John a nickname, not John, Peter, a nickname. Simon, he's sometimes considered Simon in the scriptures, sometimes Simon Peter, sometimes Peter. Same guy. Jesus said, I'm going to call you Peter. The interesting significance here, I keep looking. Simon, when you look at it, it means to hear, heard, reputation. Old Hebrew is a pebble. Jesus says, you're a pebble now, but I'm going to make you a rock. So this is a nickname. Could you imagine, hey, Rock, how you doing? You know what I mean? Everybody's got nicknames. Huh? I got a guy at work called Slipknot. Huh? Slipknot. Where'd that come from? He's not totally wrapped tight. Slipknot. Huh? Everybody got nicknames. You know what I'm saying? You got nicknames, right? My brothers all call me Frank. So if you hear talk to my brother, say, my brother Frank is like, well, that's me, because my nickname's Frank. Okay? I got a lot of the nicknames my brother had, but that's one that I can tell you here in church. My name's Frank. My nickname's Frank, okay? Huh? Because it has to do with my middle names and long story short. Anyway, so Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to name you The Rock. So he's got this nickname, The Rock. Peter's now The Rock. Could you imagine a guy like Peter? I'm The Rock. Could you imagine him? Could you imagine his attitude? I mean, I can just picture this guy. He is over the top. I mean, he's over the top. He's like, you're The Rock. That's right, I'm The Rock. That's right. Can you imagine? Huh? That was Peter. And he messed up so terribly. And in the scriptures, it's interesting that sometimes Jesus calls him Simon, and sometimes he calls him Peter. And I think what he was trying to do there, when he says, Simon, Simon, he says, Satan has just desired to shift you like wheat. Remember that, Simon? It's like, you're acting like you used to act, Peter. So I'm going to call you Simon, because that's how you used to act. And then when he says, Peter, Peter, huh? He goes, man, It's almost like saying, now you're acting like you're supposed to act, like you're following me. Peter, huh? So check it out. Okay, verse 15. When they had eaten, Jesus says to Simon Peter. Now, John's writing this. Says, Jesus says to Simon Peter, what's Jesus say? Simon, son of John. He doesn't call him Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, you little pebble guy. You little pebble guy. Simon, he says, do you love me more than these? And the Amplified brings this out really good. It says, do you love me more than these others do with reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion as one loves the Father? The Lord Jesus Christ says, Peter, do you agape me? Greek word, agape. It's a God-like love, self-sacrificing. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me like God loves me? Like God loves you? Do you love me? What's Peter's answer here? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter uses the word phileo. It's a brotherly love. It's a good friend's kind of love. Jesus says, do you love me like God loves you? And Peter says, I love you like a good friend, a good brother. Okay. What's Jesus say? Feed my lambs. The word for feed here, feed my lambs, is it's a spiritual connotation, actually. It's like to spiritually feed people. To nourish them spiritually with the word. That's what it means. Verse 16. Jesus asks this question again. He says, a second time, Simon. He doesn't say, what's he say? Simon, Simon. Son of John, do you love me? Agape. Agape. Jesus says, Simon, do you agape me? Do you love me with the kind of love that God has for you? Do you love that self-sacrificing? You have that kind of love for me, Simon? Simon says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Phileo. Simon says, Lord, you know I phileo. You know I love you like a good friend. A good friend. I love you like a good friend. Couldn't come up there, could he? No. What's he say? Jesus says, shepherd my sheep. Interesting. Shepherd my sheep. This word for shepherd has the whole connotations of a shepherd. I mean, leading the pasture, feeding, guarding, watching over. I mean, it has all of that. Jesus is saying, Peter, I want you to shepherd my sheep. This is a guy that can't say, Jesus says, do you love me? Can you imagine? I died on the cross for you. I took your sins. I paid the price. I did it all for you, Peter. Do you love me? Yeah, I kind of do, Lord. Kind of, sort of. As a good, I kind of love you. Really? Verse 17. And he says to him a third time. Still uses a Simon. Son of John, do you love me? The Lord Jesus Christ, at this point, says, Simon, do you phileo me? Now listen to this. You know what Les said in his devotion? He says, God's going to meet you right where you are. Do you understand, Peter? I think he was very humbled. I think he was humiliated. I mean, he had, and all the disciples knew that he had denied Christ. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine? The shame maybe that's involved in that? All that junk. There's no way I can love you, God, like you love me. No way. No way. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to come down and meet you right where you're at. I'm going to come down right here. I'm going to come down here. I'm going to give you this brotherly love that you have for me. We're going to meet right here at this brotherly love. And you know what? I want you to go feed my lambs. You know what? I want you to shepherd my sheep. You know what? I want you to be a leader. Can you imagine? The God of the universe coming down? I mean, the God of the universe. He said, you love me? I loved you enough to die on that cross. Peter said, I cannot get there. Jesus says, okay, I'll come down to you. Isn't that neat? Can you imagine? Do you know how many times I have not done something or said something because I thought, you know, boy, I messed up real bad over there. You know, I messed up. That was bad. You know what I mean? I think Peter was in that same boat. He had messed up so bad. And you know what? God still uses me. Isn't that cool? Huh? Do you know you got the same position? When you can't, you think, I am not worthy. I'm not worthy. God says, okay, I'll come down to you. I'll come right where you're at. Wherever you are. I'll come down in the gutter. I'll come looking for you. I'll come down as slow as I gotta come to meet you where you're at. Isn't that cool? And I got a job for you. Isn't that something? Can you imagine a God that loves you enough to do that for you? To come down from where He's at? As high as He is? As amazing and holy as God? Come down and meet you right where you're at. He comes down to meet Peter. Right where He says, Peter, I don't want you to feed my sheep. When Jesus called the disciples, they were in training, right? They were in training. They were kind of evangelizing, I guess you could call it that. You know what I mean? They were in training. Jesus is coming to a point here saying, you know what? I want you to pastor. I want you to pastor the church. I want you to be the one to pastor the church. I want you to be involved in it. I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to guard them. I want you to watch over them. I want you to be the leader for them, that you can teach them about me. But God, I denied you 3 times. Huh? Isn't that an excuse I would use? I'm not worthy. I'm afraid to get up in front of people. I'm scared to death. I died for you. Is that good enough? Wow. Every time you look in the Scriptures, and I looked at this, every time you look in the Scriptures, there's 4 places in the New Testament that the disciples are all named. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and in Acts chapter 1. In every instance, Peter is the first one called out his name. And if you look at it, they're broke down into 3 different groups, 4, 4, and 4. And it's almost like Peter is the leader of that group. And he's the first name in every one of the descriptions of all the disciples, the 12. Everyone, he's the first name. It's like God was like, you know what? You're going to mess up so bad. But I'm going to use you so good. And verse 18 says, gives a little bit of something here for Peter. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, when you were young, you dressed yourself, girded yourself, put on your own belt, your girdle, and you walked about wherever you pleased to go. But when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will put a girdle around you and carry you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. After this, he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple. Peter, same old Peter. Peter turns and sees the disciple that Jesus loved, John following, the one who had also leaned back on his breast at the supper and had asked or said, Lord, who is this going to betray you? Verse 21, when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this dude? He's trying to compare. You know what the first question Jesus says, you know, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these other disciples do? Peter is he's comparing himself to the other disciples. You ever have a problem with that? You ever compare yourself to somebody else? At last, he's a good looking guy. You know what I mean? He cleans up pretty darn nice. Wish I cleaned up that good. You know what I'm saying? You ever think about that? You know what I mean? Huh? You ever compare yourself to somebody? Huh? Peter had the same problem. Jesus tells him, he says, what about this guy, Lord? And Jesus said to him, verse 22, if I want him to stay alive until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm going to only keep that guy alive till he's 90 to write the book of Revelation. It don't matter, Peter. You just follow me. Isn't that cool? So I don't have to worry about what other people are doing, do I? I mean, people sing a lot better, look a lot better, dress a lot better, have a lot better car. I'm just saying. Do I have to compare myself to them? Huh? All I got to do is follow him. And wherever he leads, that's where I go. Pretty cool. And I know, without a doubt, he's going to come and meet me right where I am. Isn't that something? Can you get a hold of that? Can you understand? Because Peter couldn't come down to his level, up to his level, Christ came down to his. Do you understand that? That boggles my mind. Have you ever lowered yourself to someone else's level before? You ever do it? Have you ever had the holier-than-thou attitude? I'm glad I'm not that guy. He's messed up. People say that about me a lot. I'm glad I'm not mad. He's messed up. Huh? And it's true, right? And I'm okay with that. I am. I'm okay with that. Because I'm messed up. But he still uses me. Isn't that cool? Huh? If he can use me, I know he can use you. If he can use me, I know he can use you. Because I know what I was. I know what I am. I know where I am. Huh? If he can use me, this is probably the most truthful thing I've ever told you. If he can use me, he can use you. Cool? We don't have to worry about comparing ourselves to other people. All we have to do is follow him. Jesus, he spent a lot of time with the disciples. He poured a lot of himself into Peter. He did. Because a law of leadership is there's no success without a successor. Les preached on it a couple weeks ago. Right? Remember what he preached on? Having some legacy, something to leave behind, something to leave behind? The Lord Jesus Christ poured himself into his disciples that they could go and preach the word. And you know, every one of those disciples died a martyr, except John. Every one. Some of them were crucified. Some of them were stabbed with a spear. John was boiled in oil, exiled to the island of Patmos. Could you imagine that? I'm thinking, that had to hurt a little bit, right? Seems like. I'm just guessing. He had to spend time in the ocean, the salt water, to keep the infection from coming on because he was boiled in oil. Yeah, can you imagine that? John wrote the book of Revelation. After that. Isn't that something? God has the ability, the capability, of using you no matter where you are. No matter what condition you're in. No matter who you think you are, no matter how bad you think you are, God can use you right where you're at. Isn't that great? Okay, I'm going to shut up because I think the Lord told me it's done. I just hope you got something out of this morning. He will come down to meet you exactly where you're at. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne. We're so humbled, Father, by the fact that you, the God of all creation, the God of all universe, spoke the worlds into creation, just spoke it and boom, it was there. Takes the time to come down to where we're at and meet us exactly where we are. It boggles our mind, Father. We can't comprehend it. We can't understand it. I don't even think we know what kind of love that really is. Maybe Peter was right. He couldn't come up to that type of love because there's no one that can. But Father, you loved us enough. You paid the price. You went to that cross and you rose from the dead victorious for us. We praise you, Father.
We love you.
We just don't know how much you love us. Father, I just pray that I would hope. No, I'm going to pray, Father, that there would be impressed upon each and every heart here that they are loved by you. And I praise you, Father. Thank you. Father, we pray you, we love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. The elders are going to come forward this morning. I'll be praying for Dougie. He's been having some troubles there, so he had to leave a little early. But praise team's going to come forward. We've got a song to sing for you today. It'd be awesome. You know, the Lord will meet you right exactly where you are. We offer this time every week. Invitation time. We offer every week.